Good morning and welcome to St. Catherine's United Mennonite for Sunday, October 10th, Thanksgiving service, and it's good to see you here this morning. I just mentioned to Tay I was waiting for the service to start while I was still standing at the back of the church. Kind of thinking, well, somebody should be starting. Trudy, start. Lots of things going on and sometimes a little bit preoccupied. So thank you for joining in the sense of humor with that. But we do want to be diligent. We look forward to hearing Teo's message a little bit later on the attitude of gratitude based on Paul's letter to the church at Philippi in chapter 4. In response to God's generosity toward us in Christ, our service will conclude with service of the Lord's Supper in celebration of that, and anticipate that participating, you are able to pick up one of these at the front doors or at the entrance to the sanctuary, and we'll have some explanations a little bit further on that. Over the past year and a half, we have been able to share communion services, but they have been online, and so our opportunity today for us to share together as a community brings so much thanksgiving to God for providing for us through these days. Number of announcements, and first, take a little bit of time. With the latest numbers on the COVID infections, there has been a sense of gratitude to God for the numbers being down, yet we're also very aware of the need to be diligent in preventing further spread of the virus. And just as an example, last night learned that there has been a COVID outbreak at the Heidehof home, long-term care, where we have a number of church members, and so obviously quite concerned about that, as there have been deaths associated with that. And also in the last while, I've certainly met a number of people who have been affected by the long-term effects after having experienced COVID. And so while many of us have not been touched by that, certainly in my ministry, very aware of a number of families for whom this has been very devastating. And so we want to take that seriously. Strongly reminded to you that while we feel at home here at the church, it is a public space. And as such, we need to maintain our masks and physical distancing while indoors. To share in speaking so that you can hear me, I take my mask off here. But you'll notice it's probably at least, I'm guessing, at least 20 feet distance to anyone. We also maintain the plastic shields for those who are singing, as that is a higher risk factor. And so we do these things to protect each other. In the meantime, visiting and catching up with one another here at the church is one of the reasons we gather, aside from our corporate worship together. And please note, the ushers in the next while will be more assertive, I've said gently, but assertively, to remind you not to congregate and visit in the foyer. While the weather is nice, and certainly today is one of those opportunities to visit with each other, we ask that you kindly go outside. The problem with once two or three people gather in the foyer is then it's six, and then it's 20, and then people who need to get through cannot get through to maintain distance. And so we ask for your cooperation with that. You'll notice the pylons have been out in the hallways again, reminding us to keep that 2 meter distance from each other. And so these are things we need to do. Also, as public space, we just ask that if you're not fully vaccinated to reduce illness and hospitalization, give consideration to joining our services online. And again, that's another way of keeping others safe. You may have heard in the news about religious groups who offer a religious exemption from vaccination. And this past week, I was glad to see Mennonite Church Canada issuing a statement affirming what we as a church staff have already discussed, Taya, right? And Eileen and Monty and Sandra. From our understanding of Christian faith in a Mennonite and Anabaptist perspective, there is no basis for a religious exemption. In fact, it's actually the opposite. We live and have our being to help and support others. And so therefore, from a biblical perspective and what we understand Jesus' call upon us is the support actually for a vaccination, which is a means of protecting others. And we do that because we know health-wise, this is a serious situation for many people. Having said that, we do want to be as welcoming as as possible at the in our worship services and other activities at the church, but again, ask us to maintain those COVID protocols. Apologies, many of you were asking for a bulletin this morning, and I know a good many of you do not receive it online, and so apologizing we didn't have enough this morning, but there is also the snail mail version that comes out, unfortunately, later. In the weeks to come, we will try to ensure there are more copies available, but if you can, please access that online. There are a few things I do want to highlight. You may notice the community care bins in the foyer. I noticed this morning, in addition to the food bin, there was also a toy bin there, thinking towards Christmas. And we share our support of food and other things for distribution in the St. Catharines area for those who are in need. Along with joys and concerns, there was a note in the bulletin from Pastor Nick and family who are settling into life in BC. Their trip went well, and as you can imagine, just simply having made a move like that, there are lots of things to tend to, but they are doing well. There's also a lengthy note about the Church Bazaar, annual event that we have shared for some 30 years, and an acknowledgement with thanksgiving to God for well over $400,000 over the years that has been raised and donated to various causes for mission work. Also a sense of appreciation to the congregation and acknowledgement that that ministry is concluded. And so we are looking for other ways to do fundraising for ministries in the community. There's also a Thanksgiving note with regards to sponsorship that we have supported together with others in the community for a family from South Sudan, where they have fled violence and disappearance of a husband. That's exciting that a family will have opportunity to, in the next number of months, to leave that area and come to Canada. Much more in the bulletin, and invite you to read those, particularly for those of you online. And as mentioned, we'll try and make paper copies available to others of you who need that. For our call to worship this morning, I'll be reading from Psalm 100. Psalm 100 is a beautiful hymn inviting God's people to enter into worship and thanksgiving with joy. The psalm speaks of a joyful response to life in the light of everything that God has done. Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God, you who provide all that we need. We so often take things for granted, our health, our homes, availability of food, clean water, safety and peace. It's at times of crisis, when an accident occurs or pandemics strike, that we suddenly realize how vulnerable we are, how fragile life can be. Today we come with thanksgiving for how you have provided in the past, for what we are able to share today and what we might anticipate for the future. We gather for worship, longing to follow Jesus, who redeems us and who leads us. For all this, we anticipate our time of sharing, affirming our faith, and going nurtured in God's love. In the power of Jesus' name, amen. I invite Trish and Ingrid and Trudy and Rocky to lead us in music.
Please join us in singing, "How Great Are You, Lord," with your masks on, please. You can stand if you'd like. Be seated.
As we prepare for a time of prayer, just share a note with you that our custodian, or half of our custodian team, Monty Aiken, had a fall earlier this week, Thursday, at his mother-in-law's home, and is recovering, but yesterday had to have surgery on his leg for torn tendons, and debilitating surgery, and so he will be off work for a while, and we find ways to support Sandra, who will continue her work primarily inside the church, but also acknowledge and share our prayers with Monty as he recovers. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God, we bow in prayer to worship and acknowledge the good gifts that you share with us. We sometimes question, why now? Why me? Why is this happening? God, on a daily basis, it seems I bounce between that which is beautiful and whole, then to feel the raw grip of pain and suffering. Why now? Why me? Why us? I did not choose to be born at this time, O God, and yet you have created me. You have provided for me. When I experience or hear of that which is painful for others, help me to trust in your power and your ability to heal and restore. While we enjoy the bounty of a year of harvest, keep us mindful of those for whom the year has been lean. While we enjoy access to health care, keep us mindful of those who are anxious for healing. While we have resources of employment and income, keep us mindful of those who live in constant need. While we gather with family and friends for celebration of Thanksgiving, may our prayers lead us to a sense of resolve. Resolve to share in the care and support of others because of our faith in Jesus. For the people and situations heavy on our minds, we lift them to you in our prayers. As we continue in worship, guide Taya as she shares from your word. May our response to it deepen our relationship with Jesus and our commitment to live as members of your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you wish, you may stand for our next song, Now Thank We All Our God, as we sing with our masks on. Please join us.
Today's scripture reading is taken from Paul's writing to the Philippians, as Pastor Randy already has said, while he was in prison. It's chapter 4, verses 4 to 13. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything be prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be needed, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned to the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me his strength.
Thank you, Peter. Good morning. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Loving God, we give you many thanks this morning as we celebrate Thanksgiving, and we are especially thankful for you and for this place that we have to gather together and for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We ask that you bless the reading of your word and that you would open our hearts and our minds. We pray this in your heavenly name. Amen. Well, happy Thanksgiving to you all. This is always a very special day for me and to my family. Thanksgiving has a special place in my heart, so one of the many things that I am thankful for this year is getting to spend this morning with you. I am very happy to be here with you. Many families have Thanksgiving practices and traditions that make space for taking time to reflect on our blessings. At our Thanksgiving dinner at our house, we go around the table and each person shares something or multiple somethings that they are thankful for. Generally, there's one or two that share how thankful they are that our family is gathered around the table, and at least one person exclaims how thankful they are for the apple pie that my mom made. That's generally me. Our Thanksgiving celebrations are a rather obvious chance for us to reflect on our lives and recognize and thank God for all that he has given us. It is a special time for many, time spent with family and friends in whatever capacity, special meals prepared, and time of reflection. But it can also have times of stress and pressure. How big of a turkey do we buy? What day does the turkey have to come out of the freezer to defrost in time? What family member is bringing what side dish? And the more recent Thanksgivings could be concerned with who's arranging the Zoom link and what time is everyone logging on at. But even through the stress, at some point we wade our way through and take time to recognize this memorable holiday of thanks. However, within the church calendar, Thanksgiving is not marked by any special day like Pentecost or Advent. We find ourselves in this season between Pentecost and Advent, where we are now in this season called Ordinary Time. And I know the world around us still doesn't feel anything like ordinary, but believe it or not, we are in it. Now, when we think of the word ordinary, synonyms like mundane and unremarkable and mediocre come to my mind. But ordinary time is actually anything but ordinary. The focus on these weeks is to truly appreciate and be thankful for the gift that each of these days are to us. So I find it interesting that it happens to be that we celebrate Thanksgiving in the midst of this stretch of ordinary weeks, giving us time to pause and remember our many blessings. As we walk through ordinary time as a church together, when we meet each week, it is a reminder that each Sunday is a day to celebrate our new life in Christ. But it can be difficult to remember that in our day-to-day lives. As we go about driving to appointments, making dinner, mowing the lawn, it's easy to miss the gift that those things are. We have a kitchen to cook in, a lawnmower to cut the grass, and access to health care. Many are not that fortunate. But our ultimate gift, of course, that is available to everyone, is the gift of Jesus, for he is the foundation of all. So we find ourselves in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, this morning. As was mentioned, Paul is writing to the church in Philippi from prison, as he was enduring a time of suffering and desiring to be with this community of believers in Philippi. At this point, he had been away from them for quite some time, and he is still quite a ways away from being reunited with them again. And like Paul, the Philippian church itself was suffering. The enthusiasm and excitement that filled the community when Paul first shared the gospel with them was on the decline, perhaps partially because of Paul's absence from them, a lack of leadership and presence within the community. Paul is writing to them as a means of encouragement and inspiration, because, as sometimes happens in times of uncertainty and stress, tensions can rise. I'm sure we all have experienced this in one way or another, certainly in this past year. Take a worldwide pandemic, limit family gatherings and connection with those we love, limit traveling and access to services in varying capacities, and saying that tensions rise is a bit of an understatement. Yes, those are all things that work to keep our community safe, and I don't mean to belittle those things, but they certainly can cause some stress. And for us as a church community, add on some pastoral transition on top of all of that continuing stress, and tensions rise yet again. And then factor in the quote-unquote normal everyday stressors, or stressors that aren't necessarily normal, but they make their way into our lives, or those of whom we love, and we can be a pretty stressed out bunch. It should be no surprise to us if and when we find ourselves or encounter someone who is feeling that burden and burnt out and anxious. We know Paul would have been, or should I say he could have been, feeling these feelings as he was writing this text. I would imagine the uncertainty and discomfort of the cell in which he found himself could bring about such emotions. But instead, Paul wrote with what I interpret to be a sense of peace. It seems that the presence of the Lord makes all the difference. Still giving encouragement to and uplifting the church in Philippi, Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Even in his current situation, he chooses to continue to rejoice in the Lord. Always. "Let your gentleness be evident to all," he says. "The Lord is near." As that classic hymn that we all know writes, how will they know that we are Christians? By our love. Not by our knowledge of rules and responsibilities, not by our judgment, but by our love. By us showing gentleness and kindness and care for all. Because, as we are reminded, the Lord is near. He continues, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Now, I'm not sure about all of you, but when I read this, I think, sure, that's a nice verse to read. It's encouraging, but it feels like a bit of a stretch sometimes. How am I supposed to not be anxious? How are we expected to walk through this broken world without being worried? How can we continue to live in a worldwide pandemic and not be concerned? And though this verse doesn't finish off by saying we'll ever be free of anxious situations or thoughts or feelings, it does give us some direction on ways to support ourselves when those feelings do arise. In every situation, through prayer with thanksgiving, bring your concerns and requests to God. Throughout my 29 and three-quarter years on this earth, I've flip-flopped back and forth in consideration of my prayer life in two ways. It seems like either all I'm doing is bringing every single thing to God and looking for guidance and help, or I feel like a bother. My concerns seem too insignificant, or I think, well, I've gotten myself into this mess. Now I have to find my own way out. But this reminder that in every situation, every single one. Not just the big ones or the really desperate ones or the easy ones, but all of them. With thanksgiving, bring them to God. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what I've done, how big or small. Just lay it all down, right at his feet. And that focus on thanksgiving and thankfulness works to bring us an attitude of gratitude, just like Paul. It is a good practice that helps us remember that in all things, there are portions of which to be thankful. And then what? Well, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So when I think back about sitting around the table talking about what I'm thankful for, that will be at the top of my list. That peace from God that is so amazing and so awesome and overwhelming. It's so magnificent, I can't even think of a word that is enough to describe it. It goes beyond our understanding. Our finite minds could never fathom the depth of this peace and love. But when we come to God, when we fall at his feet, and when we bring our concerns to him with thanksgiving, our hearts and minds will be guarded with this unexplainable peace in Jesus Christ. Verses 8 and 9 share with us to think about such things that are right and pure and lovely and praiseworthy, to name a few. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me being Paul, put it into practice. And when we do, God will be with us. Now within verses 10 to 13, Paul writes that he has learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Knowing what it is to be in need and knowing what it is to have plenty. Now this is a knowledge that I'm sure is not privy to only Paul. Many today even know this feeling, or at the very least know someone who does know the feeling of experiencing having what feels like next to nothing, and in another time having what feels like everything. Paul shares that he knows the secret of how to be content in every situation. He knows the secret, and he even shares it with us. And I would just about bet that all of us know the secret as well. It was probably one of the first verses that we ever memorized. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. There's another piece to be grateful for and to share it around the table. There is so much to be thankful for in these verses. Firstly, the fact that we have the Word of God in our hands is certainly something to give thanks for. Nowadays, you don't even need to purchase a Bible to read God's Word. We can access the Bible through a quick Google search. Or if you have a smartphone, you can download the app for free and begin to study and read. Now, I'm apparently what they call old school. I prefer to read the pages in a book in my hand and not on a screen, but I would be lying if I said I don't utilize the app on occasion. It's a great resource. And just the fact that the Bible app is accessible around the world is so wonderful. In 2016, the Bible app by the company YouVersion stated they had more than 250 million downloads with users in every single country in the world. And when we think about the impact that this access has on so many lives all over the world, and the creativity and innovation it takes for this kind of far-reaching connection, and having that technology that makes these connections possible is certainly something to be thankful for. Another, community. Our church community here at St. Catharines United Mennonite is a gift. We are called to rejoice in the Lord together. Joy is shared within community. It is not individual. We are such a gift to one another, even if sometimes we don't always recognize it. There is nothing quite like a group of followers of Jesus, all coming together from different walks of life, each bringing our own gifts and talents given to us by God, journeying through our walk together with the Lord. And with an attitude of gratitude, those gifts are extra beautiful. And one way that we as a church take time throughout the year to pause with thankfulness and celebrate our new life in Christ is by coming to the Lord's table as we are this morning. Coming together for communion, receiving the elements with thankful hearts that God has brought us here and brought us here together as one body in Christ. Another on my list, Paul's attitude of gratitude, the reminder that through it all, thanks to God must always find a place in our hearts. And when it does, God's peace will surround us. The reminder to rejoice always. And I think we could all use that reminder every now and then. With gratitude comes intentionality, true gratitude, anyway. It's simple to say at our Thanksgiving meal at Oma's house, well, I'm thankful for my home and my family and the food on the table. Oh, could you please pass the mashed potatoes? Paul says in our reading that this contentment in all situations is something that he has learned. It didn't come to him naturally or something that he was born with. And this is likewise with us. Certainly, there are those of us that are more inclined to notice the silver lining. My mother is one of those people. But that doesn't mean that the rest of us will sit with arms crossed, submitting to a life of realistic views and a glass half-empty state of being. Praise God that we don't have to endure that reality. We can rejoice always. Through Christ, our hearts and minds are guarded with an unexplainable peace. And through the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to study God's word and grow in him. And through God, all these things are possible. In preparation for this morning, as part of my study, I took a look at the paraphrase in the Message of our text this morning. I like to read a few different translations when preparing, because it sometimes gives a new insight or it causes me to my mind to be open to something different that I hadn't thought of before. And I really enjoyed the simplicity of the Message paraphrase of our reading today. It just seemed all the more relatable and simple to understand. It says, celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you are on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the Master is about to arrive. He could show up any minute. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. I'm glad in God, far happier than you would ever guess. Happy that you're again showing such strong concern for me. Not that you ever quit praying and thinking about me. You just had no chance to show it. Actually, I don't have a sense of needing anything personally. I've learned by now to be quite content, whatever my circumstances. I'm just as happy with little as with much as with little. I've found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. In a blog post titled Thanksgiving and Giving Thanks, Similar but Different, Jewel Evans writes this: Thanksgiving Day isn't the one and only day to be thankful. It's the day we can pause and reflect to remember how much we have to be thankful for. Give thanks to the gracious God who has given us so much, and then find ways to practice gratitude every day. You can't turn a thankful heart on and off like a lamp. It's more like priming a pump. You work at it. It doesn't have to come out perfectly all on one day. That's one difference between Thanksgiving and giving thanks. Thanksgiving is a holiday. Giving thanks is a way of life. As we go from this time together, may we remember Paul's words to rejoice always, to celebrate God all day, every day, to freely come to the feet of our Lord in any situation with thanksgiving, and keep close to our hearts the knowledge that we can do all these things through Christ who gives us strength. Amen.
Thank you, Taya, for that beautiful message. We really do have so much to be thankful for. Join us now as we sing together Forever.
As you entered the sanctuary, you were offered a plastic bag containing a wafer and cup, and perhaps also a gluten-free option that was there as well. Since we've not shared communion in this way previously, a few instructions. And our sense is that this is different. We're used to passing the trays down the aisles, and as we receive the elements, it has been practiced to acknowledge the person who shares the tray with us or who we pass it to. And part of that acknowledgement is just the sense of our sharing as a body of Christ, our faith as believers, and acknowledging each other in that faith. And so we do this a bit differently. If you would take the cup out of the plastic bag, trying to do this with one hand. And part of the difficulty with this, if you haven't experienced, a few of you had mentioned you've had these before in other contexts, and so that you may be familiar. It's hard to see, but there are actually two tabs here. One is a cellophane tab, and that's on the top where the wafer is, the bread. And then there's a foil tab that opens up the juice. And so just hang on to that for a few minutes. When I extend the invitation for us to share the bread wafer, we can open that up by pulling it back. But don't open the foil tab yet, otherwise the juice will spill. Experience. When I tried that at home. And the gluten wafer, just simply use the bag that you've been given there, but don't open the cellophane wrapper. And later when we share the cup, then the foil wrapper can be open. And as the service concludes, you can take the cup and wrappers and place them back in the plastic bag. Part of that is, again, experience at home. There's typically a bit of residue that stays in the, you know, you can't quite kick it all the way back. It doesn't all quite drain out. But then you turn around and tip it, and actually some spills out. So put the cup back in the plastic bag. As you exit, there are waste bins just at the door there, and you can drop that off. If you want to take it home with you, that's fine too, but just to let you know that we can dispose of those there. As you've heard many times over during the pandemic, we've had to learn to do things differently. And interestingly, over the year and a half that we have been dealing with this, how some of our core habits and some of our rituals have changed. And while we've adjusted to so many changes in our lives, my hope and prayer is that perhaps we've been able to reduce some of life's clutter, and that we've learned to appreciate and strengthen what's really important in life, namely our close relationships with each other and even our sense of being aware of the stranger among us. When Jesus sat down to share the Passover service with his disciples, he told him that he was eager to do so. The Gospel of Luke. Jesus was eager to share the Passover meal with his disciples, not because he was hungry. He wasn't eager in the sense of being in a hurry that he had to get somewhere else or that he had other things to do. Jesus was eager because he sensed the nearness of suffering, because he had sensed the time was close when he would die. For Jesus, knowing suffering and death were close at hand, he resorted to the elements of faith, the practice of faith, that had carried God's people for centuries. The Passover meal, recounting the experience of God's people, marking their doorways with the blood of the Lamb, in order that the angel of death would pass over their home, would pass over them. And then the bread, made with unleavened or yeast-free dough. It was a reminder for the people that when God delivered them from Egypt, it was in such haste that they did not have time to prepare food for themselves. It was on the run, as it were. And so in the atmosphere of suffering and death, Jesus, eagerly wanted to share the Passover with his disciples, reminding them of God's ability to deliver them from slavery and death. And for all that we have had to endure during this pandemic, I've longed to share the Lord's Supper with you, not just online, but with you, to remind you of God's ability to deliver you from the slavery of sin and from death eternal. And so we share this, the Lord's Supper. And I say to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, it is right that we remind ourselves of the meaning of the Lord's Supper as a remembrance of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the sin of the world, for our sins. The supper is the encounter with the risen Lord, reminding us of his teaching of faith, a commitment of communion with baptized believers, reclaiming for us that we are his body, his church. And so the Lord's Supper is the anticipation of the day when Jesus will come again. It is the Lord's table, and all who belong to Jesus are invited to it. Therefore, we come to the table in faith, knowing our weaknesses, renouncing sin, and trusting that Jesus is seeking grace for us to be renewed and to live whole lives. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God, in your care for each of us, you set before us a table of bread and drink. In remembrance, we accept your love. We renew our vows of baptism in Jesus' name. And we join our hearts and voices together to pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. If you would take the cellophane tab and pull that back to reveal the wafer. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." As we partake of the wafer, Trudy will play a verse of a hymn to lead us in meditation. Christ's body, broken for you. If you take the cup and the foil wrapper and to pull that back, you may need to do that carefully so as to not to spill it. In the same way, during the supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me," in remembrance of Christ's promise to come again. Let us share the cup. Thank you. Thank you, Trudy. In Jesus, God is generous to forgive. And may God grant you joy as you go from this place to extend the good news of Jesus as you live your life with others. Amen. I invite the song, and following that, Taya will share the closing benediction.
Please stand as we sing Praise God from Whom.
A reminder before we go, as always, the ushers will help us to leave in an organized fashion. We'll start on this side at the back, working our way forward, and again, starting in on this side at the back, working our way forward. Reminder, and out the side doors. Thank you, sir. Out the side doors, yes. Okay. Pardon? May we go with these words from the book of Ephesians. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated.